Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
I'm not from Bed-Stuy. With either do or they gonna die. Gotta keep their ratchet close by. Someone made it. Put your lighters up. LA,
put your lighters up.
Brooklyn, put your lighters up. No matter where you are, put your lighters up. Yeah, honey, I'm so cold. I don't know how I'm gonna do it no more.
Hey. Oh my God.
Shout out to Little Kim and her prayer for it's a monsoon in LA.
And she said, I don't regret it. She said, yes, I do want a monsoon.
Okay, and we got some rain. So Little Kim and her Brooklyn powers helped bring some rain to LA. So thank you. Put your lighters up. All right, welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, Season 5, Episode 9, Nerf in French.
Nerf. Neen, yes. Welcome.
We are your besties. I am Jocelyn.
And I'm Tanea.
Hello.
We watch a lot of television, and we want to tell you what we like and what we think you should watch.
Yes. So thank you for tuning in and liking us, subscribe on social media, subscribe and leaving us comments. We love the comments. People really be commenting and sending us DMs and
yes,
responding to our DM content.
My girl, I saw that. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I like
yes.
That. I like
that. So follow us. It's at We Watch Too Much TV, T-E-A, the letter V. And like and subscribe, rate and review on all podcast platforms.
Yes.
How was you? We took a little break for Martin Luther V. King. How was your little 2 weeks off despite, you know?
You know, life has just been life, and we try to get up, we push, we maneuver, right. We move on, we move forward. We have a dream that I tell everybody in my life, my mother has told me since I was a baby, you never work on Martin Luther King Day.
No.
I don't care if your office is open, you are closed. So I enjoy my Martin Luther King Day. I don't do anything. I turn my phone off. If you are not dead or if it's not an emergency, do not call me. I don't care if people want to meet at my places of employment. I do not. How was your break? Your little time off?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was busy. I did enjoy my Martin Luther V. King Day. I did a really good interview that day with Yvette Nicole Brown and Kim Whitley that's coming out. And it was a good conversation to have on that day because it was Martin Luther V. King Day. And it fell on the day of the inauguration. So, you know, we're all going to continue to push through, but definitely, you know, is a time just like we did the last time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to band together those that are being oppressed. And now more than ever, it's time to really just open your eyes because constantly people have kind of overlooked, especially those that have benefited from the sacrifices of the Black community. You know, even like Martin Luther V. King, it's just like people constantly will overlook that and take it for granted. And now you can actually see how you were benefiting from the sacrifices and the hard work that the Black community had done. So 100%. I would say that now more than ever, band together, support your local small business, support your local minority, support. Stop looking at what our differences are and look at what unifies us. That's what we're going to need as we navigate these next 4 years. It's only been 1 week and it's already the country has gotten turned upside down and not in a good way. So it was a good conversation to have. And then literally I just went into a really busy week. I traveled. I had to go to New York for a conference, which was really good. I got to see you.
Yes, you did, girl.
My parents, but I did happen to go to New York during the coldest week, probably of the winter. I really don't. I mean, y'all might.
It was nice today. It was nice,
right?
Today.
Like I, y'all might have a little dip again, but I really doubt it. But I just happened to go to New York when they randomly had the really chilly week. So that was great for me, but it was cool. I didn't mind it because I don't get that weather often. So it was like a little cute reason for me to wear my coat and make some good use of my coat.
Yes, very cute coat. You have to have a winter coat at all times when you are from New York. You put it in the closet and you bring it back out when you need it.
Exactly. And shout out to Delta. Like, I feel like I've risen up the ranks with them and that they respect me because I got upgraded to New York and returning to LA both
Okay, shout out
times.
to Delta. They respect me.
Right. Like, they like, okay, I'm on the list now. I made it. So I got upgraded both times to Comfort Plus. Okay. So talk to me nice. Period. Period.
You better upgrade my girl.
Okay. And I was watching some TV on the plane. So that's definitely going to be what I talk about. So let's just get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend. I feel like you've been watching some documentaries because I've been seeing some previews for documentaries when I go on the Netflix and the
Yes.
Hulus.
Yes.
And if I know my best friend, I know she's watching some documentaries. So what?
100%. Because the first one on my list is a documentary. We already know. It's a docu-series because it was, I guess,
Period.
two episodes, three episodes. It is called Fights, Camera, Action. It is the true story about the Jerry Springer Show. If you are my age, I remember very vividly being sick from school, being in my parents' bed, and watching Jerry Springer.
Yes.
When I was in like seventh or eighth grade and thinking it was a crazy ghetto mess because it would be Jerry Springer and then Maury. And I always made a promise to myself to never be on one of those shows. I just want to thank God that I
Right.
kept that promise
There
because
you
I
go.
never was on one of those shows. But it gave me the behind the scenes. Basically, Jerry Springer was a congressman. He was very straight laced. He was on the regular TV news. He met like the king of tabloid magazine, like cover stories, this guy named Richard Dominic. And he ended up kind of producing the Jerry Springer Show. Was very Phil Donahue, like the first season or two. And then he came in and he's like, nobody cares. They always wanted to be Oprah. And so they started letting people have the fights and the arguments. And that's when they like started getting the big numbers. But two big things changed the Jerry Springer Show. The first one was there was a death. So basically, there was a husband who took his ex-wife and his current girlfriend on the show. The ex-wife was a very quiet woman, really didn't know what she was doing, wasn't American, was a single mom, and kind of went on the show. She wouldn't give in to like the fighting of it all. But long story short, I guess the ex-husband was embarrassed and he killed her. And so that was the first kind of red flag with the Jerry Springer Show. The second one was when a man called the Jerry Springer hotline and said, this is the only place that will understand me. I gave my wife a divorce, left my kids with my wife, and married my horse. So I don't know if you remember the
No.
episode with the man in the middle of nowhere was married to his horse. But a lot of people was like, this is bestiality. This is where we gotta let it go. Like, okay, this is nasty. Okay.
My goodness.
This is nasty. So then you go, oh, and then Jerry Springer had a little tabloid thing with some guests on his show that were like adult workers, and there was like a tape, but it went away really quickly, and everybody forgot about it really quickly because I don't even remember that.
I don't.
But apparently, he had like a little tape. He was caught on camera with some women that were on the show.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just the beginning of the show, how a lot of people felt. Filming it gave you a lot of insight. They would get these people drunk before they got on the show. The producers will hype them up like, this is how you gotta sound. Make sure you sound like this. I just love learning the behind the scenes of things that I've watched. So if you just want to watch the history of the Jerry Springer Show, specifically why a random man that I thought that was for TV. There was really a man who left his wife for
It
their
was like
horse.
the prerequisite to the boom of reality television.
A
It
hundred
sounds
percent.
like pretty much with producers telling you how to talk and to get reactions out of the audience. But I just remember it being so like drama filled. It was like a way where people would get out their frustration. If you were in the audience, you could boo and jeer. And then like at the end, you could say just mean things to the guests. It was just crazy. Like, And definitely, if you were a kid at that time and you stayed home from school, that's what you were watching on TV. And it was so horrible. We had no business watching those things, but it was the thing to do. I can even remember one time in fourth grade, like going to school really late, and I would be watching Jerry Springer at like a classmate's house. And I remember my teacher like talking to me, like, Jocelyn, this is not like you. You're different from those kids, you know, like.
You're gonna make it.
You
You're smart.
know, she was right though. She saw something in me. But yeah, Jerry Springer was just like pinnacle trash television, but it definitely reflected American culture to a big degree. And just seeing kind of where we are now with the boom of reality television like really taking over, Jerry Springer was definitely the prerequisite to all of that. So shout out to Jerry. And he's from Queens, so
Hello.
shout out to Jerry. Okay, Queens.
What
Queens, get the money. Put your lights up.
is first of your weekly grab, little?
Okay, so we're, first of all, Weekly Grab is a movie that I got so into while I was on the plane. So much so that I started like watching it when like we were getting close to landing. And so I timestamped it and I knew I was flying Delta back. So I was like, I'm gonna finish this.
Wow,
And
you must have liked it. That's
yes.
dedication.
Okay. And so it's Transformers 1, all cartoon based, because you know it's just about the origin story of Optimus Prime and the villain. Optimus Prime, you're not gonna know his name.
You know I don't.
Megatron. So sorry.
Okay.
But yes, so their origin story. So with it being all about the Transformers and their planet, you know, there's no live action. It stars Brian Tyree Henry, who I love. So Brian Tyree Henry plays Megatron. But remember, this is bef Megatron before Megatron became Megatron. So Megatron, his original name was D16. And then you have Chris Hemsworth, who plays Optimus Prime. His original name was, gosh, gosh, damn it. It was like, oh, Patel One, Patreon something. Goodness, I'm screwing it up. Something with the letter P. The letter P is involved. Then you also have, so them two were friends. They were really close friends. Chris Hemsworth's character was really obsessed with digging into the archives of the Transformers history because he wanted to get down to the root of why their energy had basically gone into a drought. And so they're not Transformers. They are miners. They don't have the power to transform. Like they can't turn into cars and airplanes and stuff that we know them to be, in this original form that they were in. They just mine for energy. And that little bit of energy, they're under the impression that it's getting stored somewhere. So and helping their leader, Sentinel Prime, find where their original energy is lost at. So periodically they go on these missions, Sentinel Prime and the other like prime leaders, to go find this energy and try to bring it back to the planet, but every time he comes back empty-handed. And Chris Hemsworth, Optimus Prime character, is so passionate about trying to figure get to down to the root of this, you know, to save humanity. Well, their humanity, you know, they're not humans. And him and Brian Tyree Henry's character are actually really good friends, and you could see how Optimus, how Megatron is like always helping Optimus Prime escape the police because the police are always catching Optimus Prime breaking into the archives and he's not supposed to be there. And then it comes down to this race, the Iacon 5000, where the typically anybody can join the race, but the Transformers always win. So the miners that don't have Transformer powers, they never enter because it's impossible for them to win this race when people are transforming into cars and jets and stuff. But Optimus Prime, Chris Hemsworth, he has the faith. He's like, we can do this. And so he talks Brian Tyree Henry into doing it. Brian Tyree Henry doesn't want to do it. He just says, I just like being a regular guy. But anyways, he tricks him into doing it. They do the Iacon 5000, and they're close to winning by the skin of their hair, just by like different ways and nuances that they're able to kind of keep going back to the front. And then from there, they get in trouble. They get thrown into like this scrap yard at the bottom. And that's where they meet who is the original Bumblebee, but it's Keegan-Michael Key, who is hilarious.
I love him and everything he does.
Yes. And so
Everything
he has
he
a
does.
dream of one day being this super badass robot that he goes by the name Badassatron. Okay. So they all kind of are just becoming friends, but mind you, they're just the rejects. They're down in the bottoms, scraping for coal or whatever. And then some kind of way they find this secret location where they find the old original primes and one and they had lost the battle where they were battling for that energy that they're looking for. And so one of them was still alive enough that they were able to use some energy to bring him back to life. He ends up coming back to life, telling them the truth that Sentinel Prime is a snake and is stealing all the energy and giving it to this little energy evil alien thing. And he instills within them the power to transform. So then now they got the power to transform. And now that they got the knowledge that Sentinel Prime is a fake, guess who turns into this evil maniac? Megatron, the one who didn't want to do nothing, the one that Optimus Prime was having to talk him into joining the Iacon 5000. So lo and behold, they get the powers, they take back the rights of their planet. But now you see the origin story of Optimus Prime versus Megatron. They used to be best friends, and then they turned enemies, and it was amazing. Other stars in it was Scarlett Johansson, Jon Hamm, Lawrence Fishburne. Great story, great performances, very diverse cast. And since it's all voiceover, it shows that color doesn't matter, talent does. And it was so good to watch a cartoon movie that Ryan Reynolds and Chris Pratt didn't voice. So shout out to Transformers 1. And it was
Could you
really
tell whose voices were who?
Yeah, but honestly, I couldn't really tell that Brian Tyree Henry was playing Megatron. He didn't have his typical Brian Tyree Henry voice, and it wasn't like he was trying to sound like a super robot toward at the beginning, but he just sounded really good. That's why I say like no one sounded black or white. You know what I mean? Like everybody just
It was
sounded.
just really good acting. Like you could,
Yes.
they were doing what they needed to do.
Yes, and Keegan-Michael Key is so funny because when they finally start to get their powers, he gets like sword hands, and he's like, "Oh my God, I have sword hands! Look, I can cut people in half!" And then he just like goes, "Badassatron," and it was just like a full circle moment from when he's at the beginning of the movie when he shared that he wanted to call himself Badassatron. So I was dead on the plane, cracking up, like laughing out loud. I know people was like, "What is going on over there?" But I was in my own world. Enjoying Transformers 1 on my arrival to New York and my return back to LA. Really good movie. And I can't wait till my daughter gets older so maybe I could enjoy these cartoon movies with her because right now I enjoy them by myself.
Bad Acetron, okay?
Badassatron. Yes, great movie, great movie, great movie. What's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is another documentary. It is the SNL 50th anniversary series. So far, there's been four series in the documentary, and then there was a separate 2-hour documentary about just the music on SNL. They're coming up on their 50th anniversary on February 16th. One day I will be in the audience. That is like a
Yes.
bucket list thing I've always wanted to do, but it gives you the history behind it. So the documentary series, the first four episodes, the first one is about the audition process, how you have 4 minutes to make these people laugh. Sometimes people you know, like Amy Poehler, they automatically are gonna make it. They don't really have to try out. Or like Andy Samberg, who was like a referral. Then there's other people who they've never seen, and then they are stars like Bowen Yang or Ego Odum. Then they talk about people who are famous now that didn't get picked for SNL, like Donald Glover, Kevin Hart, Jennifer Coolidge. They all tried out for SNL. Stephen Colbert, they didn't get it.
Wow.
And then just how like they know who to pick and who not to pick. Then they go into the cowbell sketch. That was like the first SNL sketch that was like big. And just talk about the history behind it, how the legend Christopher Walken hates it. He said the cowbell sketch ruined his life, that no matter what he does, people come up to him and ask him to sign a cowbell, or like he'll do a Broadway show in a very serious role. And then afterwards, they're like, "Can you sign my cowbell?" Or they'll start playing it. And so he went up to Will Ferrell and was like, "You ruined my life." Then they had just another episode, which I liked. It just goes about behind the scenes, like the guests come on Monday, they give them all these ideas, then Tuesday and Wednesday, people are up till like 7 in the morning writing sketches. Thursday, they read it to them. They pick like the top 13. Friday, they film some of them, most of them. Saturday, they show a dress rehearsal run, and then what they don't like, then they'll cut out to like the final like 8 or 9. So I just like going behind the scenes of it. And then the final documentary episode was just talking about season 11, which was like, I guess, really weird and wasn't that great. But the my favorite documentary part was the one about the music. So Questlove directed it. Shout out to Questlove. It was so good. I don't know if people know that SNL was the first TV show ever to show hip hop. Blondie brought on the Funky Four plus one more, and they were the first rap duo artist ever, hip hop artist ever, to go on national television because Blondie was the host and brought them as the guest. So that was
That's what's
SNL.
up.
It's
Shout
just
out to
amazing.
Blondie. Put your knife
Hello,
in
she
the.
knew it. She said she was like, it was something new. We weren't seeing it around. So her and her band performed like the first half, and then the second half, she brought on the first hip hop. Like the DJ booth was in front of the camera. That's how you knew it was the first one ever. It wasn't behind like you see it now when you see somebody perform. The DJ, he looked so lost and it was so funny. It was just like, I don't know what to do. It was like 1980 or something. So he was just lost. But it was just so beautiful. You see all the hip hop artists, you learn different stories behind controversial moments. Like, remember when Ashlee Simpson was lip syncing
Yes,
and
I will
kind of
never
messed up
forget
her?
that
You didn't know.
ever. We were there. We remember that time.
It was
It
a
was
part of
like
our
it
like,
was the talk of the town. If something went viral before viral was viral, that was that for
yeah.
sure. Because she just
She
kind
like
of did
look.
this little mosey do dance,
Yes,
and it was like, what the hell
yes.
is going on here?
They talk about it, how she said she had a sore throat and she was gonna like only lip sync the first song and then sing the second song live. Then it went to she was gonna lip sync both songs, but for some reason they didn't get the second song together in time. And so she just walked off the stage and they were like, it ruined her career. And then you get to
Crazy,
talk
because
about
it's like Britney Spears has been lip syncing her whole career. I don't understand how it became such a big deal that Ashlee Simpson was lip syncing.
I guess because it was SNL and it was the first time it was like it wasn't like I don't know, maybe the first time
Because most
somebody
people
got
don't
caught
lip sync on SNL.
on
That is
SNL.
true.
They just sound really bad. Right.
Right.
But it was such a good talking about like the digital shorts and the musical guests. And I think Eddie Murphy was one of the first people to imitate a famous person. He did the James Brown hot tub impersonation and just how it was so funny. Honey, it was just really, really good. So just shout out to SNL. I can't wait for the 50th like show on February 16th. I will try to watch it live. But it was really, really, really good. What's next on your weekly grab?
Shout out to SNL. Put your
Yes.
noses up. Next on my weekly grab is a new Ratchetry show that is on Netflix. We have yet to see Ratchetry on Netflix, but leave it up to Sherelle Rosado, after getting Selling Tampa canceled, to figure out a way to wiggle herself back. And I will say, she definitely seems way more in her element on
Yes.
Wags to
Yeah.
Riches. So you're seeing Sherelle with other wags. So these are wives, girlfriends, baby mamas, side chick adjacents of athletes and rappers. And they all are coming together, acting like their bosses, because everyone works in real estate now. It's literally crazy to see the athlete rapper pipeline to real estate. It's just like, how is everybody a real estate agent or broker? Now, we already did know Sherelle. We got introduced her as a real estate broker with Allure Realty, but that show got canceled after one season. And the one season I did watch the show, I liked it. I was hoping it would have lasted, but I didn't like Sherelle on that show. And I definitely felt like she was doing this whole little competition thing among her agents and like kind of getting them to compete for her favorability. And it was just like, what boss leader does that? You know, like she would do things you could just tell purposely to make the other girls jealous of each other. And I didn't understand it. When you're in that type of a leadership role, you have the ability to really mentor and guide and lead. And it's kind of like she was abusing that. But now seeing her on Wags to Riches, it's like, oh, this is who she is. Like she's literally a mean girl. You see her ostracizing one girl, Stoney, because Stoney is the one that got revenge porn in the 50 Cent versus Rick Ross beef. And so basically because there's porn of Stoney and not at her, discretion, like it was
Right. Somebody
someone
did
that,
that to her. Somebody did
yes,
that to
someone that
her.
she dated sold their intimate moments on tape to 50 Cent because they had broken up and he was just being bitter and she sued and she won. So now Sherelle is just hang dangling that over her head. Like I just can't associate with someone like that. But you're engaged to Chad Ochocinco, who busted Evelyn Lozada's forehead and is known for cheating and has multiple children by multiple women, and you're baby mama number umpteenth. Like it's like the hypocrisy is insane. And then you see that she has like little minions, but they're also girls who are interested in working at her little bullshit ass real estate firm. So it's a lot of mean girling. Some girls I do see they can stand on their own. You see Stoney is like that. The girl Sade, she's the only one that really confronts Sherelle and tells her like, "Girl, you're old and you're not about to little girl me with your mean girl act," which I really appreciate that. Then you have Yes Jules, who is being called a culture vulture, which I do believe she is, and you can see it on the show when she gets into an altercation with the girl. Granted, this one girl did, I think, pick the fight because she's calling her a culture vulture. However, Yes Jules' response kind of just proved like you're not of the culture, you're just wanting to be a part of it because your first response to this black woman is, "What do you do for your culture?" And then after y'all get into a fight, her comment is, "My hair is real." You are not an appreciator, you are appropriator. And don't get it twisted because you sleep with black men and you have black friends that you're somehow aligned with us because they not like us. They not like us. They not like us. So also another fun fact about Sherelle, she's very honest about the fact that she chased after Ochocinco and she slid in his DMs. But then when she appeared on Carlos King's podcast, she's, because they're broken up now because he'd be cheating and she want to call out all the girls that be trying to come reach out to him. But it was like, girl, you were one of said women. So I just found that interesting. I need her to have several seats as well as her minions. Portia, she needs a backbone. And yeah, just shout out to the girls that are able to stand on their own. I'm really just not sure where the future of the show is going to go, if it's just going to continue to be what it is, because it's like the girls, like you got Kodak Black's baby mama. She is clearly extremely ratchet. And that's the other crazy thing, because Sherelle's being so nice to her and shunning Stoney. And I'm like, this girl is ratchet as hell. Open
Yeah, that
talk
don't make
about
no sense to me at all.
even in the she was in the news again today or yesterday for fighting another baby mama. It's like, girl, like, why are you being nice to her and then shunning Sony? Like, it's not making no sense. But yeah, I'm not sure where the future of this show goes, but I did watch it and figured it was worth talking about a bit. Cause Sherelle, it's like, girl, get over yourself. But also at the same time, I could tell, like, this is what she wanted, right? She's been wanting to be a reality star. It didn't work out for her the first time. So she found something that is definitely more in her lane. And yeah, so if she's comfortable with just getting the backlash, then yeah, fuck it. Then you got it. You got what you wanted. You're famous now, and yeah, just use it to the best of your ability. But yeah, wax
Yeah,
you.
no, I didn't finish it.
I
I
haven't
stopped.
finished it either. I haven't finished it either. I'll get around to it, but honestly, there is so much television going on right now. Like, I'm trying to catch up with stuff. I have screeners for stuff. So, have you started Harlem Season 3?
No, not yet.
It's
I
really
said I'm
good.
gonna probably wait until all six are out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just
Exactly.
to
Yeah.
get like just get through all of it. I will
Right.
say really quickly, I think I saw a tweet or something on Threads that said that they feel like Wax to Riches dropped the ball because there are really like professional type like dilemmas that goes on in that world. Like there are women who are housewives, but also they're in the boardroom, they're helping with negotiations, and they really didn't focus on that. Because to your point, maybe it was Sherelle, maybe it was her people, but they kind of wanted to like highlight another part of it. And so I did kind of see that feedback, and I thought about that. Like, yeah, I would like to know, like, not about them fighting, but about what they do, like, what their lives is like. So I kind of
I
very
would
wrapped
that's
up.
that is what I did enjoy about Selling Tampa and the fact that they were black and they were out here, selling real estate. But at the same time, if the show is Wags to Riches, they're gonna sensationalize the drama. That's just what's gonna happen. So maybe, and I saw there was like aspects of them trying to show, but only Sherelle and Stoney. I did appreciate them showing us Stoney in her boutique. And shout out to Stoney and put your lighters down to her friends who was going to other boutiques and not to hers. That's messed up.
Yeah.
Justice for Stoney. Justice for Stoney. I'm Team Stoney, period. Okay, what's last on your weekly crap?
Put your lights down. Okay, last of my weekly grab is not a documentary, but it is a Netflix movie, which I absolutely loved. Back in Action with Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yes.
I was just in the house on a Sunday. Oh no, it was on Martin Luther King Day because I had a dream. I did not
Yes.
move.
Martin Luther
And
V.
so
King.
he told me to support his brother and Jamie Foxx. And I did.
Period.
First of all, I just want to really shout out casting because I really believe they were a couple. And it wasn't like I want them to be together or like they look stupid, but they genuinely like had really good chemistry. It
Yeah.
wasn't too much, but they looked like, middle-aged like parents of young to
Yes.
teenage kids. Basically, they are covert spies. They were just messing around. He finds out she's pregnant. They decide to leave that life. Then they're working with someone and they kind of become parents, and then something happens and they have to go back into the field, if you will. And then their kids realize that their quote unquote boring parents are not boring. I thought the action was funny. I saw Glenn Close doing a lot of interviews, but then when I saw that she was the mom, I just fell in love even more. I
Yeah.
love that. I loved her little boyfriend play
Yeah.
toy and how much he
Yes.
wanted to be a spy, but he was so bad.
And a
And she,
grandfather. It was
yeah.
hilarious.
Call me granddad. He was like 40, telling these old 13, 14,
Funny.
just call me granddad. It was
He was
amazing
hilarious.
when he like did the good part to kind of help them figure it out at the end. He was
Yes.
so excited that he did this one part, but they already know he's not a good spy. And I also love how they set up a sequel with the ending. You could tell the son is going to be like a spy, or he's going to kind of get converted. He has very good skills. And then they talk about her dad. And so I've already been brainstorming like, who's an older guy who could play her dad? Like, I'm like, maybe Pierce Brosnan, like 007 or Daniel Craig. It got to be somebody who could like do the action fighting, but could be old enough to play her dad. So I'm like, yeah, that might be a good look. So I just like how they set that up because anybody could be her dad. Because Jamie Foxx doesn't have a family. He was just like an orphan, or maybe they find a cousin or something. I don't know. But I really liked the movie. It was
I
funny.
did. Me
It
and
was
Mark would make a fun of
interesting.
it because it was definitely cheesy,
It was cheesy, but
but
cute.
it was still cute. And we legit watched it and enjoyed it. I really did like the boyfriend, Glenn Close boyfriend. He was really good comedic relief. I called it at the beginning that the guy who was the traitor was the traitor. It was just they took you for a
Oh.
loop when they shot him in the head, and we was like, oh. But then when he comes back around, I said, I told you, told you. But yeah, great film, great film. And to like, see this was the film Jamie Foxx was filming when he had that health scare. So I'm happy it came out, and yeah, it's being well received. It's a good one. So yeah, shout out to Jamie. Put your lights up. Oh, and fun fact, Glenn Close, I mean not Glenn Close, Cameron Diaz was just on a Zoom call with Demi Moore, Lucy Liu, and Drew Barrymore, and
Yes.
there are inklings and rumors and suspicions that there could be a Charlie's Angels comeback film, and we are
Oh, that would be amazing.
put your lights up. Yes. Okay.
Is last of your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab, you already know our favorite show, RuPaul's Drag Race, honey. So I
Yes.
had missed the last two episodes, so I binged it today. Ugh, it was so good. When you could binge Drag Race, it's the best.
It's the best.
Yeah, that like there's nothing better than binging Drag Race. Binging like old Housewives seasons. But yes, Drag Race season 17. So I'm not surprised that Joella went home this last
Oh,
episode.
Jesus. A mess, a
Like
mess.
a mess. And it's like, and I'm just also not surprised that her and Corey were in the bottom. I feel like what people sometimes overlook, and it really, I feel like it could depend on just like where you're from and how you were raised and the environment. Drag really takes a certain level of swag.
Yeah.
filtered swag. Like, you got to just have it. On Your Nerve clearly has it. Like, Jewel Sparkle has it. And I really, you could see that Joella did not have it. And that's why she was even trying to pick On Your Nerve's brain. Like, how are you able to represent your culture without fear? Like, girl,
Wait,
what?
that's right. You gotta be watching Untucked.
I've been
Untucked.
missing Untucked. You know I'm not an Untucked girl, but what
Oh,
have I
it's
missed?
way better this because the shade, the way that
Oh, they
Joella,
are throwing some shade.
the way Joella is like, I am like a top LA queen, like one of the best queens ever. And
Where?
I on
What part of
Untucked,
LA?
yo, she was like, I
Silver
just
Lake?
love it. She was like, I don't know how I'm not bringing it. I feel like I'm one of those queens who like,
Girl.
they get on the show and they just don't bring it. And I know
The
I'm the best.
delusion, the contusion, not with the bodysuits. You kept coming with the bodysuits. You wasn't delivering in challenges. You were not serving looks like that. And so it's just like the uniqueness, nerve, and talent is just like it's lacking, honey. And then Corey, I already knew she was headed for disaster when she was like, I'm a genius. And then she decided to wear that same outfit she just got dragged for. I was just like, I'm not seeing the correlation. And I already knew it was gonna fail. I'm just mad that the rest of the team let her go with it. But thankfully, it wasn't like a team challenge where they all failed and were in the bottom. But that is also proof, like, speak up when you know somebody is headed for disaster. If you're going to be involved, it's like, no. But yeah, I really feel like On Your Nerve is really the one to watch. I've been seeing it, and she's just like kind of improving and not even being the one who's like the super, super look queen, but it's like she has that swag and can deliver in a challenge. So I just hope she stays the course. I love Variety, but I just don't want her to just be a look queen with no personality and challenges. And so far, that's what I'm seeing. So I hope, that's not what continues. And it also broke my heart seeing my two faves, On Your Nerve and Jewel Sparkle, arguing, but they did both eat it up. Like, they was both giving, and I was just like, ooh. Ooh. The shade was just like too real. Cause On Your Nerve definitely was shady for taking those
Yo,
embellishments.
she was so shady. I really like
Sure
this
did
scene.
take those beads when she wasn't looking. It was like bloop bloop. But yeah, I really, really am enjoying this season. Like, these girls are bringing the looks when it comes to that runway. I'm just like, damn, like they all really are looking good so early on. You haven't really seen that before. So yeah. So all it's now it's really gonna come down to is these challenges. But all right, y'all, that was our weekly grab. Don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That's TEA with the letter V. Boom pow pow. Put your lighters up. Okay.
Oh my Jesus.
All right, we should actually keep that and periodically post that on social media.
Put your lighters up.
That's about to be my new thing.
OMG.
Okay, and let's get into our piss for performance. Okay. Who's first on your list, best friend?
Ooh, my piss poor performance. No surprise this week. It goes to Miss Brim Whitfield from The Real Housewives of New York. Not even for her horrendous actions on the episode, but it's more so for her doubling down after the fact. The fact that she put out a Rolling Stone article after she probably saw the show, tried to double down, talking about, I know I mentioned it, or she might not have heard it. No. You don't need to double down. You need to just say, I was wrong and apologize. But the
Period.
way she made it seem like everyone's forgiven her and everything's okay, I truly hope from the bottom of my heart that Brynn goes to therapy and she gets true healing, because she over-sexualizes herself all the time. She consistently is making a joke about an older man being her daddy or liking women when she doesn't like women. But yet she also takes so to heart when people sexualize her. And I'm not saying it's right, but I've never like physically seen those two juxtapositions. Like, she's like super sexual but super offended, and I just don't understand.
It's
If you're gonna
not.
be that flirty girl, somebody say you so I can dick, you either gonna like I do it or all right I don't, and but for you to hold on to it
Like
and uber with
Mia.
Yes, you hold on to this. Like, this is your thing. You're the sex kitten. You're the flirty girl. And then this, how you use it, I really truly see it's traumatic. I do see you probably have a very difficult situation with femininity, sexuality, whatever that is. And I pray for you. But in the same token, something is fucked up. And I'm saying that with all due respect, there is something fucked up that you can't take someone's apology for saying, I'm sorry if I said that, but you always want to flirt with somebody. You always want to kiss Jenna on his lips. You always want to, you do too much. You do
Too
way too
much.
much.
Too
So,
much, too much, too
Bryn,
much.
just get it together. Get off TV. I mean, TV's not for everybody. Bryn, you
It's
gotta get off
not.
TV.
And there's allegedly some blind item going around about somebody from the show, and from the sounds of it is possibly about her. And from the sounds of it, it's like really like just morally bad. And so now people are speculating, and some rumors, people are speculating if she is possibly lying about her racial identity. This is all alleged, and this is all just rumor and talk. But the fact that she lies so much, it's like hard. It's like I wouldn't put it past her because, like, you've been lying so much. And the clip that we're seeing now from the reunion, it looks like Sai eats her up, which also, like, put your lighters down to Brynn, because how did I go from really not liking Sai at the end of season one to now I'm team Sai because I can't
Yeah.
stand Brynn that much? Like, put your lighters down, girl. Like, seriously. Yeah, so piss poor, pissing on Brynn.
For sure. Who's your piss poor of the week?
Okay, now back to Netflix, because y'all remember a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about Rhythm and Flow season two as my weekly grab? Well, now they on my piss poor, because I can't believe I got through that whole ass season two and they're gonna pick Dre TL as the winner. Like, he was the one contestant on this show that I was not understanding how he continued to make it week after week through the challenges. But I was just feeling like, okay, it was just like he was getting lucky, the luck of the draw, that can happen on the show. I did not expect him to be selected as the winner over someone that was actually really good. Like, the dude from Cali was really good. It was clear to me that he was going to win, just like in season one. It was kind of clear that D Smoke was gonna win. Now, granted, I can understand they didn't want to have two back-to-back seasons of somebody from LA winning, but it also always should just come down to talent. I really don't understand. Like, Dre TL had no rhythm or flow or lyrics or delivery or fashion or nothing. He just was like Martin Luther D. King, and he had a dream. That's the only thing I give him, is that he had a dream. But other than that, I do not understand how he made it so far in the competition and then was selected as the winner. That really discredits the whole entire season two and makes the whole entire season just garbage, straight garbage, Basuda trash to me. And they're gonna have to come better season three, because you just did a disservice to the whole franchise of Rhythm and Flow by selecting Dre TL as the winner. So for that, they get my piss poor. Okay. On that note, let's get into who we're actually rooting for as part of our yay segment. Who you got, best friend?
All right. So my yes is also Housewives related. I was so excited for Miss Bronwyn from Housewives of Salt Lake City on the reunion. Bronwyn is slowly becoming one of like my top three housewives because one, she's actually a rich bitch. She lives her life. She talks about it. She's young. She's relatable. She's open. Two, she is very accountable. I've never seen such a housewife specifically on a reunion be like, you know what? I watched it. I was wrong. My bad. She did that a lot. She didn't double down. She wasn't like n afraid of like the backlash. She was like, you're right. I didn't really watch the show. I didn't know blah, blah, blah. I think she went into it thinking Lisa was a friend, but I think she, like everybody else, could see that Lisa is her own type of delusion. Lisa is her own, just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, and first of all, her makeup, her tan, ooh, another piss poor. I mean, another yes does not. Maybe put your lighters down to the
Put your
person
lights
who
down.
Lisa Barlow's tan and makeup, because she looks old. She does not look cute. But I'm just proud of Bronwyn. She made me proud as a housewife because she stood 10 toes down. I believe everything she says. She was honest about things. Her Tide even came spicy. Todd was like, "Do not talk to my wife like that. Pipe down." But I just like her. I feel like everyone thought that once Jen was gone, it wouldn't be good. And then once Monica, who I loved, but she's crashing out online, and I just wanted to shut up. I just like Bronwyn. Like, she's just crashing out. Monica, just stop crashing out. Just leave it
Yeah,
alone.
she's definitely
She's
crashing
just
out.
crashing
It's
out,
coming off like
girl.
really, really weird.
Desperate. Yeah, it's just weird.
It's
Just be
like,
quiet and let them want you
girl.
back. Yes.
Right.
It's so far, it's only the first episode of the three-part reunion, which I'm happy they have three parts, and I'm excited about it. So go, Bronwyn, girl. I see you, and I know you could afford that $4 million necklace. So I don't believe
Right.
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa always just gives me vibes of like I was popular in high school and I haven't gotten over it. And she just really also hasn't grown up. Luckily, she has sons and not daughters, because if she had daughters, they would just eat her up. Because it's just like, Mom, grow up, please, and thank you. My yes is going to Ken on Love and Marriage Huntsville for tearing up Tris on the season finale. You know, the whole season you were really just, you know, I was wanting to root for Trish from the start. She was a newbie. I'm always just giving people benefit of the doubt. I'm not one who just automatically doesn't like somebody when they start on the show. I want to just kind of fill them out. And then as we're filling out Trish, you could just see like she's always hiding things. She's not telling the full truth or giving half truths or complete just kind of fabrications. When it came to her relationship with Martell, she was acting like she kind of knew him through his brother at first, because she went to high school with his brother. Then come to find out, they kind of had a date. They had like a date night when he was going through the
Oh.
divorce with Mel. Yeah. And it was like she was keeping that a secret. But then at the same time, you know, if you're going to come on the show with your man, you would think that you would have already kind of had him prepared for that information. But
Yeah,
no,
that's embarrassing to find that out on the show.
exactly. So he over there trying to defend her, but you can't defend that if you're keeping me in the dark. So also, remember, he keeps letting her know he wants to marry her. This is a good man, good looking man, really nice body, paying all her bills. You know, like women fighting for men like this. And he's doing it all for her, and she's playing games. She talking about she don't know if she want to get married, not right now. So then at the end, when he's just asking for clarity as it relates to the Martell situation, she's making it like seem like it's a him problem. Like, why are you bringing up their names? They live rent free in this house and it ain't because of me. And he's just like, yo, like I'm telling you, you're the problem. You're not being honest. I have an issue with you, not Martell, not Marquez, her ex-husband. And she's just showing her ass. So he was just like, you know what? We're done. I'm done. When you struggling, tell your kids why. He said, I pay for everything up in here. It was just like,
Damn.
yo, he got up in that ass. She looked stupid. And that was how the season ended. And now we gotta wait for the reunion.
Oh my
So
God,
shout out
that's
to Ken, because he's a good man. And it's unfortunate when you actually see good men given a
yeah.
chance on a woman and she playing games. So it just makes us women look bad. So, you know, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of women right now sliding up in his DMs talking about, I could give you what you want. You know?
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Put your lighters up for Ken.
Period. Put your lighters up for Ken. Put your lighters up for Bronwyn. Put your lighters down for Bryn. Okay. And on that note,
That's great to you, okay?
yeah.
Because
And oh, put your lighters down for Dre TL. Oh, I can't believe that. Okay. And on that note, let's get into some positivity. I held that note. I know you heard
yes,
that.
you did. That was award worthy. Okay.
Right, period. Grammy season. What's your positive affirmation or quote, best friend?
I truly believe that everything that we do and everyone that we meet is put in our paths for a purpose. There are no accidents. We're all teachers. If we're willing to pay attention to the lessons we learn, trust our positive instincts, and not be afraid to take risk or wait for some miracle to come knocking at our door. And that is from the legendary Marla Gibbs.
Oh, period. Marla Gibbs. Yes.
Okay.
And she's alive. It's not the
And
lady.
acting, she was in the season
Acting.
premiere of Will Trent. Okay, my girl said, "I'm still getting checks
Yes.
at 9 to 4."
Put your
Okay,
lights up for Marla Gibbs. Put your lights up. Yes.
to 7.
Okay. Act like you know. That is history.
Yes.
Okay. And my quote is, If you spend your time chasing butterflies, they'll fly away. But if you spend your time making a beautiful garden, the butterflies will come to you. When you focus on improving yourself, everything you want will come to you. We attract based on who we are, not what we want. Don't chase, attract. And that quote is from, I don't know, Pinterest.
Pinterest.
Put your lights up. All right,
Up.
y'all. Like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. Also, you can follow us each personally. I'm at Jocelyn Diva.
And at underscore Tanea says underscore. Let us
Okay.
know what we should and shouldn't watch.
Yes, and we will be back next week. I think we're going to do a video episode next week, right? We said like every.
Yes, we can, we can, we
So you'll
can.
get to see our faces. Thanks. All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye.